speak, you know it's going to be a power-filled word. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if you would, give him a big round of applause.
Any day above ground is a good day. Amen. It's such an honor to be here with you and fill in for Pastor Mark. I was actually scheduled to be here in November. I was in D.C. last week, and he texted me and said, man, I got to be gone. Can we change the date? So I called the other pastor I was supposed to be with this morning. They said, yeah, I'll swap it around. So this is just for you. Amen? Amen. So we're going to have a blast. And how many was raised in church? This is rehab. I can tell you that. I am a preacher's kid. Been in this all my life. It's an absolute miracle. I've been in the ministry for 30 years. If I would have stuck with what I was taught about God as a kid, I wouldn't even be in church. Because I was taught about a God that you couldn't really be good enough. But God's chasing you down. Amen? Religion makes you chase God. Revelation causes you to know God is chasing you. Tell somebody, he likes me. Amen. So today, I want to give you a word that I think is going to help you and hopefully encourage you. And I just release the Holy Spirit to bring this word to light on whatever level you are in your Christian walk, because we all need to grow. Amen. I've been in church services when the preachers preached and it just went, it was like a 747 right over my head. Amen. So to some, it will be deep. To others, it will be encouraging. Amen. But to religion, we're going to slam it. I hate religion. If you don't know me for that. Forget my name, but remember this today. Religion is trying to get man to God. Revelation brings God to man. Amen. So be careful what church you go to. If you're visiting today and you enjoy this, but you go to a church that tries to get you saved every week, you would do well to get out of it. I've been, look at me, I feel like I'd open every service like an AA meeting. Hi, my name is Mark. I'm a preacher's kid and I'm recovering. Amen. I just learned that God is good. So are you ready for a good time? Amen. We are going to have a blast. This is transformation time. You missed me, didn't you, Tay? You missed me, didn't you? I love she was a little bitty when I met her. But I think this is a transformation time. There was a family in it wasn't in Leedy. It was another little town where they only had a flashing light. And it was yellow. Yeah, it was yellow. They couldn't afford red. And there was a family out there. Now, I'm redneck. My wife tells me, my God, you have your doctorate. Use those words. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, here's the difference. I'm a little redneck and a little hillbilly. What's the difference? Redneck don't know. Hillbilly don't care. You know what I'm saying? So if you were raised in a religion and I say something that offends you, I just don't care. I am not, I am the Donald Trump of the church world. My mission is to make church great again. Amen? And so we are going to have a blast. But this little family, they had never been out of this small town with the little blinking light. They had one store. That's where you mailed your letters, paid your bills, got your gas and your groceries. Well, Mama decided, because she got magazine subscriptions, she decided to enter a contest to win a trip to New York City. How many's ever been to New York City? It's a different world. I minister in the Bronx every now and then. And years ago, my first trip to New York City, I'm just walking down the street. And even the people I know well there today, they say, Mark, you can always tell the visitors, because they walk down the street like this, just looking up at the buildings. It is a concrete jungle. This redneck family won the trip. And they loaded up a truck and moved to Beverly. Amen. I mean, it was, oh my God. And so the mom and dad and the two sons got off the plane. And the mom said, well, I'm taking this one this way. And the dad took one of the sons. And they went a nut. They were just trying to cover the city in this four-day trip. Now understand, they had never been out of that little town. That little community. And the dad and his son wandered into the Empire State Building. Now, if you've never been in there, it is a trip. The architecture is tremendous. They have elevators anywhere. These guys had never seen an elevator. All they see on three walls are doors opening and closing. Opening and closing. So the dad and son walks up to one of them, and they're just looking. They don't even pay attention to the button. They're just looking. And a little old woman on a cane walks up, pushes the button. Dad and son step back. The doors open up, and then they close. Just suck away the old woman. Or, I'm sorry, elderly woman. About 30 seconds later, the doors open back up, and a young blonde walks off. They both jump back, and the kid's like, Dad, what? He said, shut up and go get your mama. Amen. Are you ready for a transformation today? We're going to have some doors open and close on our understanding. So, Father, I set in motion the anointing on this house today, that no matter what level we are finally going to understand Christianity. And we call it to be done. And everybody said, amen. I want you to open your Bibles. If you don't have them, they'll put them on the screen. Acts the 11th chapter, the 26th verse. Acts 11, 26. They're paying me by the hour, so I'm going to milk this a lot. Pastor Mark asked me to let you go by one. Now, if you're quiet, you really don't know me, do you? And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was there for a whole year. They assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians. There is a difference between a believer and a Christian. Amen. A believer will make you ready for heaven. But a Christian will make you ready for hell. Because you're going to go through stuff in life. I don't care how good you live, how much addictions you quit, there's always going to be something that comes against you in life. Being a preacher's kid, been around this 63 years all my life, I have heard prayer requests. Brother Mark, I just want to be so close to God, I don't have a problem. That's called the cemetery. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how good you live, you are going to have problems, because unless you have a problem, you don't have a ministry. until you turn your problem into a ministry and stop making a prayer request. A believer makes their problem a prayer request. A Christian makes their problem a ministry. I'll say that again. If you are a believer, you're going to heaven. Woohoo! But you're going to have problems. And if you're only a believer, you're going to need prayer for your problem. But if you're a Christian, you see what you're going through. Someone else is going through it. And so you're no longer praying for yourself. You're praying, God, help me help somebody else. And the word says, as you give, it will be given back to you. So if you're having to ask for a blessing, it's because you have yet to become one. Did I tell you I'm leaving today? I don't live. Amen. Whew. Where's that elevator when you need it? Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you a Christian? Now, let me define Christianity, because being raised in a very legalistic Pentecostal society, I could go to hell. Now, this is some years ago. I would miss the rapture and go to hell if I went to a movie, if I went to a school dance, if I listened to Southern rock. Skinner was out of the question. Marshall Tucker, out of the question. You see what I'm saying? Well, if you listen to that, you're not a Christian. No, see, everybody's got their own ideology, and this will blow some of the young people's mind, but back in the day, if you were a woman that wore makeup, you were not a Christian. Let me tell these people, if you were a woman... Doesn't this blow? Thank God you're not taught that crap. Or I'm sorry, skabolum. There's some Greek for you. You are not taught that skabolum here. Okay? And as a preacher's kid, which if there was ever a good preacher's kid, it was probably me. I ain't as good as I once was. But the women that didn't believe in makeup were the ones that needed it. You know what I'm saying? And these just, it just created questions in me. I was like, my God, you can go to hell for anything. You miss it one time. Mess up one time and die and you're going to hell? Seriously. Does it make you a Christian because you live right? No. What makes you the difference between a Christian and a believer? A Christian chooses right. Because life is filled with choices. Being a Christian doesn't mean you don't dip snuff, you don't smoke, you don't do this, don't do that. Because if you travel the world, and I've traveled the world, I'll go to some conferences overseas, and at dinner, you don't have Coke. You don't have, oh, I want unsweet. I want half and half. No, they give you wine or water. Well, in our Christian society, you have wine, it's a sin. Over there, it's not a sin. Now, I'm not condoning these things. Just follow me on this. What is sin to one culture is not sin to another. So who told you you were naked? That's Genesis the second chapter. When the serpent came into the garden in the third chapter, when the serpent came into the garden and tempted the woman to eat the fruit, they ate the fruit, man and woman, and God came in the garden, and his question was not, what did you do? The question was, who told you what you couldn't do? Are y'all okay? And you may be thinking, where's Pastor Mark? Well, I am Mark. Amen. But what's this? We need to understand that Christianity is not a list of rules of don't and do. Christianity is identified by the choices we make every day. A believer is a follower of Christ. A Christian is one who acts like Christ. A believer wears diapers, and I have no problem with baby Christians. I have two sons, and I have no problem when they were little changing their diapers, but I will not change Depends. Hello. A believer needs a diaper change. What do you mean, Mark? They make some pretty stupid decisions. But a Christian shouldn't need spiritual Depends. We ought to know better. Somebody say, I'm growing. So, as we progress in understanding Christianity, somebody say, I'm either a believer or I'm a Christian. I have to choose. Well, five of you are saying this with me. Say this with me. I'm either a believer or I'm a Christian. Every day I choose diapers or Depends. Okay. And so as we spiritual maturity is not how long you've been in church, because some of the biggest hell raisers I've ever known in my life have set their tail in churches for years. That doesn't mean you're a Christian just because you go to church. You're a Christian because you make better choices. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 21, the first verse, and I've got to get through this. Matthew 21. Now when they, it's talking about Jesus and his boys, they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. Then, somebody say then. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go in the village opposite you, and immediately you will find, we'll just keep on reading, a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Zechariah 9:9, that tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed behind cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, somebody say then. Now, I'm going to cut the chase. I'm gonna break that down. If that don't mean squat to you, here's what I want to break down. If you have any inkling ideology, if you have any church upbringing, there were times Jesus would heal people and say, "Don't tell anybody I did this." Man, if I healed somebody, I'd want everybody to know. I'd have my face on the billboard on I-40. That's it, or Facebook. Yeah, I don't do much of that. Sorry, I don't need to know if you had a bologna sandwich for lunch. Maybe I'm just getting a little older. But he would tell them constantly, don't tell anybody I did this. Somebody say then. But in Matthew 21, he says, then he told the disciples, go get the donkey. Because it was prophesied in Zechariah, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, when it was time for the Messiah to come, he would be riding on a donkey. So he had to wait. Now, if we went, let's go to Daniel 9. And again, this will be like talking in tongues to some, you know, and it was to me for years. But Daniel 9, the 25th verse, and we'll read through the 27th verse. We just need to understand the Bible, okay? A pastor cannot take one verse out of the Bible and teach truth. You have to know what is being said. Somebody say, I'm becoming a Christian. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build, rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for a week. But in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out of the desolate. Whew. Explain that. Okay. Jerusalem, the city of God, had been destroyed. Nehemiah, the prophet, had gotten an order from the king, you can rebuild the city. Daniel was saying, from the time that the city of Jerusalem is built back, the walls are built back, until the time the Messiah brings an end to sacrifices will be 483 years. Now, don't let this be boring to you, okay? He said it will be 173,880 days. From the time I give this command to rebuild the walls to the time Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. Somebody say then. Now you can understand Matthew 21. And before in Jesus' ministry in those three almost and a half years, he would tell people, don't tell anybody I did this, because he could not announce he was the Messiah until the 173,880th day. Why do I need to know that, Mark? Because as a believer, you'll pray, God, fix this, but God has a timing. And you have to be a Christian to be patient. A believer will keep praying about it, but a Christian will say, it's in God's time.
Amen.
So no matter what you're going through, there is a timing. And as a believer, you can get frustrated, you can get aggravated, but as a Christian, you just say, yet will I trust in the Lord.
Amen.
So somebody say there is a difference.
Ask
your neighbor, are you really a Christian? See, a Christian doesn't mean you do all the rules. A Christian means you make the right choices. You can choose to doubt, or you can choose to believe. You can choose to be stressed out, and stress, according, and I love to study psychology, psychiatry, medical science, and it is proven in medical science that 97% of all sickness and disease is attributed to stress. What is stress? Stress is you trying to get your way to be happy. A believer will stress out. A Christian will not. A believer will keep the prayer list going. Hold me up. Hold me up. Keep holding me up. Hold me up. Well, you're getting heavy. You know what I'm saying? Sooner or later, we have to grow up. One time a week going to church isn't going to change you. This is a daily thing. A believer learns about God once a week. A Christian lives God 24/7, 7 days a week. Is this too tough? So when Jesus said, now go get the donkey, it was 173,880 days to the minute. So he came riding in on the donkey, and all the Jews knew the Old Testament scripture. They knew our king is riding in today. And so Jesus rode in on a donkey. Somebody say a donkey. The word donkey in the Hebrew means patience. Oh my God. Don't ever pray for patience. You have to go get it. Anyway, he comes riding in on the donkey, and all the Jews are out there. Now, understand, they're in Jerusalem under the Roman Empire, and the Romans would kick butt and take names. Now, I'm just going to cut the chase. Is that okay? That's just the way the Romans were. They were superior. They stood there in full armor. We're going to let these Jews do their little Passover week. But we're going to watch them. But the Jews knew the prophecy. This day, the person that's going to set us free is riding in on a donkey. And here comes Jesus. And all the Jews are out there throwing palm branches, laying their coats on the road in front of him, crying, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! But wait a minute. Who was crying that? The Jews. But see, understand this, and can we go to school for a minute? The Jews were very racist. Black-white issue holds no candle to the racism of the constipated Judaism. Because if you weren't a Jew that day, you were nobody. You were a beggar on the street. Even a Samaritan who was half Jew was still a dog. So why would the Jews who believed they were already right with God start calling him Savior? Because they didn't need, Cameron, salvation to make them right with God. The blood of David and Abraham was already in them. They wanted salvation from the Romans. Why do many people go to church today? Because they need to get their butt out of a ringer. Hello. And then when they get out of it, you won't see them till the next ringer comes. It doesn't mean they're not a believer. It just means they're not a Christian. Pastor Mark asked me last night, what are you teaching on? And I told him. And then I got here this morning and the message changed. So if you don't see me again, you'll know why. A believer follows Christ. A Christian acts like Christ. Okay? So, the Jews are out there, Hosanna. Woo! All these years. Don't you know those little Jews were walking by those Roman guards who were like the soldiers at Arlington Cemetery guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier. They were told, you be stone-faced. Don't you know those little Jews was walking by saying, yeah, you're coming down, Bubba. You're coming down. You are coming. This is our time. This is our city, and you've ruled it long enough. That's the guy right there on the donkey that's going to kick your tail, and we're getting our stuff back. That was on Sunday. Everybody's crying, Hosanna. But what happened on Monday? And I'm going to cut the chase of a lot of your study. But what happened on Monday, after he rode in on the donkey? The word says that Jesus went into the temple and used the whip and chased out all the sacrifices and scolded the temple people. He didn't do what I wanted. Do you know how many people today are, aggravated at God because he didn't do what they wanted when they want? Well, I'll never go to church again. Well, you're just an idiot. You live in a one flashing light mentality. Tell your neighbor, catch an elevator. Amen. What Jesus do on Monday? He went in there and cleared the temple and cleansed the temple. He didn't do anything against the Romans. See, when you have a problem, God's not changing your problem. He's changing you. A believer wants their problem fixed. A Christian wants their mind changed. Can you imagine the dinner table in the Jewish homes Monday night? Now understand this. The women of that day, and if you're a bra burner, don't get mad at me. I'm just talking culture and history. But the women had no voice in that day. They had to walk 6 steps behind the man. I'm still trying to train my wife, but... Oh, come on. Yeah, she's not here, so I can say that. But watch this. The women couldn't say a thing, but at the dinner table Monday night, I thought he was going to set us free from the Romans. And you know what he did today? He did just the opposite. He went into the temple, cleared out the sacrifices, and said, you're making my house like a den of thieves. He's supposed to be fixing the problem I see. But he's actually fixing the problem he sees. You can be the problem in your problem. Did I tell you I'm leaving? And don't you know the husband? I mean, he's got, well... God, I can't say half of what I'm thinking. He's the man during the day. But at night when he gets home, I had one pastor tell me, he said, I'm the head of my house, but my wife is the neck. And if you've been married, you'll know what I mean. Amen? And young people, when you marry, marry up. Now, look at me. All these young girls right here, you're beautiful. Don't marry a project. Don't be saying God's going to change them. Wait till they change. Okay? I don't care if they've got the six-pack abs. Well, he's got 6-pack abs. He probably don't have a job. That's the reason he has time to work out. Hello. And you can brag, oh, she's a brick house. That house is going to need siding. Are you hearing me? So all I'm saying is be careful. Don't let your hormones and testosterone dictate the hell you go through later. Because you can create your own hell by your choices. Don't blame the devil for what you did to yourself. I thought I was coming to church and I'm coming to a Dr. Phil taping. No, you're not. Amen. So Monday night, the women's like, I cannot believe this is supposed to be the guy that saves us from the Romans. And he's like, honey, just calm down. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. The Tuesday after, they were all saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The Tuesday after, what did he do? He went into the temple again in Matthew 23 in the 24th chapter and the 25th chapter and told all the rabbis and the priests, you're a bunch of snakes, vipers, you are liars, you're hypocrites, and this temple will not keep standing. Can you imagine the hell at the dinner table Tuesday night? Oh, it was refried beans. Amen. This is nothing fresh. Because when you get mad in your problem, you tend to explode on someone else. You can be a believer and go to heaven, or you can be a Christian and make it through hell. It's a choice. Well, honey, I'm sorry. I know this is the one because he's the one that rode the donkey 173,880 days, 483 years after these walls were rebuilt. This is the one that's going to save us. She said, yeah. Just trust me, tomorrow's going to be a better day. If you study the scripture, what did Jesus do on the Wednesday after he came in on the donkey? He went on vacation. This is wild, isn't it? He went on vacation. He went to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. They were childhood friends. He went and hung out the whole day and night in Bethany with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Oh, my God. Now, here's some of the preacher's kid coming out in me. I have been praying, I've been fasting, I've been going to church when I didn't feel like it, I've been giving my tithe when I couldn't afford it. Why'd you do all that? Because you're trying to manipulate God to do what you want to. Are you tithing because you're a Christian and trust Him? Or are you tithing as a believer trying to manipulate what He does? See, it's all in the mind. He didn't do a thing. Oh, we're having leftovers again on Wednesday night. What did he do today? Nothing. Nothing. Thursday. Honey, just chill out. I don't know what happened today. But the crucifixion is Friday. The lamb is going to be slain Friday, so I know Thursday's got to be the day. What did Jesus do on the Thursday before the crucifixion on Friday? He had dinner with his crew. The Last Supper. Are you kidding me? He's eating bread, drinking wine with his friends. Oh, so maybe he didn't come to change your problem. Maybe he came to change you because you are the one that changes your problem. So Thursday, yeah, this is the day. This is the last day. No, then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and gets arrested. Oh my God, are you a numbnut or what? You're supposed to do what I've been asking you for. That's the whole reason I come to church. That's the whole reason I was paying my tithe, to get you to do what I was asking for. And then you got arrested? What happened on Friday? Let's go to Matthew 27, the 11th verse. Now Jesus stood before the governor. He didn't do a thing against the Romans. Does God not hack you off sometimes? No, seriously, I was taught to rever God, and I still do. But in my upbringing, he could really aggravate you. It's like, my God, you're serious. You know what I need here. Why don't you do it? That's a believer's prayer. A Christian's prayer is, thank you, Lord. It's going to be all right.
Amen.
So the question is, are you a Christian? We're going to love you either way, but you're not going to make it through life until you make better choices. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And he said to him, it's as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. And then Pilate said to him, don't you hear how many things they're saying about you? And he answered not one word, so the governor marveled greatly. Can I stop right there a second? You know what your greatest Christian witness is? It's not a WWJD bracelet or a t-shirt that says, I go to Harvest Fellowship. Your greatest witness is you don't complain when you're going through a problem. A believer will tell the plumber their car won't start. Why tell the plumber your car won't start? Why do you complain to people that can't fix it? Because you're no different from the Jews of that day who God wasn't doing it the way they wanted. That, tell your neighbor, he's leaving. I just want to spur you to say, God, forgive me. I thank you the Holy Spirit has caused me to believe, but now I'm ready to be a Christian. I'm ready after today to start making better choices and better decisions in my life. Because the demons you fight are the ones you create through bad decisions. Demons are created by the actions of men. So be careful. Well, I'm full of grace. I can do whatever and God will still love me. Yes, he will. But just consider the demons you have to fight through your bad decision. Because the blood doesn't change your memory. And you'll always live with the memory of bad decisions. Do you smell a holy religious cow burning? Amen. And he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, don't you hear what they're saying about you? And he didn't answer a word. And the governor greatly marveled. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner who they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Somebody say Barabbas. And therefore, they had gathered together. Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus? Now, here is the everyday battle. By an upraised hand, are y'all getting bored with this? Okay. By an upraised hand, tell me, who has heard the scripture, I die daily? Okay. If you haven't, it's in there. Okay, I die daily. Now, what's this? Who do you want me to release to you today, Barabbas or Jesus? That is the determining factor. Are you a believer or are you a Christian? A believer will choose Barabbas. A Christian will choose Jesus. For he knew they had handed him over because of envy. Why did the Jews give Jesus to the Romans? Because he wasn't doing what I wanted. You just want to slap the snot out of stupid. I'm kind of like Ron White there. You can't fix stupid. God of mercy, Lord, help me. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife said to him, "Don't have anything to do with this guy, for I've had a lot of dreams today because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas. Why did the Jews want Barabbas? Somebody say he was notorious. We just read that, and I don't have time to go into the history of Barabbas. There are only a few scriptures in the Bible about Barabbas, but Barabbas was a notorious prisoner because he was on death row because he had killed some Romans. Why did he kill Romans? Because the Jews are supposed to rule this city. So the Jews loved somebody that was doing what they wanted, but they hated somebody who wasn't. Okay? And so, what's this? Do you want Barabbas and destroy Jesus? And the governor answered and said to them, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Every day you have a choice. Choose Barabbas or choose Jesus. I guess I ought to say this. Somebody say Barabbas. Look at your neighbor and say Barabbas. Let's go to school a minute. In the Hebrew language, the phrase bar, B-A-R, somebody say bar. Bar means son of. Do you remember hearing about Bartimaeus? His name means the son of Timaeus. So Barabbas is son of, what does Abba mean? Father. But that's plural. Son of the fathers. He was the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, do you want today to live according to the law of the flesh, or do you want to live according to the law of the Spirit? Every day you can choose to be depressed, you can choose to feel guilty, you can choose to feel condemned, but every day I die daily. Every day I said, no, I will not choose that because I don't want to fight a demon later. No, I will not, I refuse to feel condemned and guilty. This day I will choose Jesus. But see, what the word doesn't say, there is one translation that says it that I'm aware of. There may be more. But in Mark the 10th chapter, in the New Revised Standard Version, I believe it is, and I could be wrong there. I'm not really a teacher, but I do stay at a Holiday Inn every now and then. Barabbas' first name was Jesus. But Jesus was a common name. Jesus means Joshua, which means salvation. So when you say choose Barabbas, you're saying, do I want to be saved by the flesh of what I can see, hear, smell, feel, taste? Or do I choose to be saved by the Spirit of what Jesus did on the cross? A believer will choose to walk in the flesh most of the time. They'll choose to be depressed. They'll choose to let what they're going through affect how they witness. They choose to just feel bad. But a Christian chooses, no, by his stripes I was healed. I don't have to feel condemned. I don't have to feel guilty. By his Spirit, I'm going to make better choices. So why did the Jews choose Barabbas? Because he was the very reason they wanted a Savior in the first place. Save them from the Jews. And that's why Barabbas was on death row, because he hated the Romans like every other Jew. And Jesus didn't do anything about their problem. He came to fix them, not the problem. And so they chose, I'm going to quit. So they chose Barabbas. Here it is. Every day, you have a choice. You can choose to make bad decisions. God's going to love you either way. God's not going to stop loving you. You can't lose your salvation. You can lose your witness, but you can't lose your salvation. And some of you here today may be in situations you've been making some pretty stupid decisions. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm saying His mercy is new every morning. Let's start making better decisions. Amen. Now, very little is said about Barabbas. And really, the scripture says nothing more about Barabbas after Pilate released him. There are two theories in the history of mankind concerning Barabbas. One account of history says when Barabbas was released, he actually got in the parade of people that went and watched Jesus die. Another account of history says that Barabbas went back to leading insurrections against the Roman Empire and was eventually killed by the Romans. Well, mark which one's true. I don't know. And I think I know why it's not explicit and definite on truth. Because every day you have a choice knowing you've been set free. You can choose to make the choice as a Christian, or you can go back to living like a son of the flesh. God's going to love you either way, but your destiny is not determined by God. It's determined by your choices. So you choose this day who you will serve. Mark, I made bad choices. Well, who hasn't? You know what I'm saying? Who hasn't made bad decisions? But that's the mercy and the grace of God. He's not, you may have created some demons you've got to fight against later. How do I fight a demon, Mark? Well, number one, stop confessing your sin. God already forgave you. If you're still confessing it, it's because you don't believe He really forgave you. Quit it. Well, how do I conquer a demon I created? Every time the thought comes up, instead of saying, God, forgive me, you're saying, Lord, I want to thank you. You made me free.
Amen.
And today, I have the choice. I can believe or I can doubt. I can live in faith or I can live in fear. I can live in positivity or negativity. I have the choice in my life through the blood of Jesus to choose Barabbas or choose the Christ. Did you get something today?
Amen.
So are you a Christian? A Christian chooses Jesus. A believer chooses Barabbas. You're good with God either way. It just determines the hell you go through in life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing. God, I want to thank you that you have sown a seed in the hearts of people that even though there are some here today, including myself, God, every day we have to make choices. Help us make better choices. If you're here today by an upraised hand, you say, Mark, my God, I've been choosing Barabbas and didn't even know it. and I am ready to start graduating into Christianity. Show me your hand. It's nothing to be ashamed of all over this building. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Father, I set your peace and your grace upon these people. If you're here today and you say, Mark, I don't even know that I've ever made a choice. I do believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for me. And my first step is to become a believer. And I need to take that step today. And trust me, no one's looking around but me. If you're here and you say, Mark, I believe I accept Jesus as my Savior. I can't save myself. I believe in Jesus, what he did on the cross. Show me your hand. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing at all. Back here, back here. I call you saved. I call you whole. I call you delivered. I cause the Holy Spirit to come alive inside of you. In Jesus' name. Would you look up at me just a moment? Every day is going to be filled with different choices in life. It's amazing to me. Oklahoma is 49th in the nation in education. That's politics, not people. Hello. We spend more on our welfare than we do our education. Some people need help, but some people think they deserve it. That's the ones you cut off. But we are also number one in the nation in incarceration. Number one in the United States of America. And we are the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. Blow that smoke somewhere else. The belt buckle of the Bible Belt just means we're more constipated than anybody else. Because we have taught Christianity as a list of rules instead of a lifestyle. Why are we number one in incarceration? Because we're number 49 in education. Why is religion so impoverished in Oklahoma? Because the education to the parishioners has been out of the damnable tradition of men instead of revelation. Today, I want you to get fired up for yourself. Make it your own goal. You know what? I've been screwing up in this area. Father, I want to thank you for mercy. This is how you pray. Father, thank you for mercy. But I don't want to create demons I got to fight later. So, Holy Spirit, help me to make better choices, better decisions. I'm going to heaven either way. But God, if I can avoid some hell, help me. That's what it means to be a Christian, to choose Jesus, because you trust he's always right on time. And even though he's not doing it your way, it's going to be all right. And you maintain patience, peace, love, hope, joy, meekness, kindness, forgiveness all day long. Well, what if I mess up? You get up. Phew, I ain't doing that no more. I set blessings on you guys today. Did you get something? Amen. Brother Mark.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Give the Lord another hand clap, guys. That was fantastic. Wow. Revelation of Jesus. Amen. Just right quick, Mark travels, and he is such a blessing to the body of Christ. Did you get something out of that? Everybody stand with me, if you would, before we close. I want to mention in the back here, Pastor Dusty's got a basket, and we want to sow into this ministry. And so if you're led in that, and I know I am, to continue to keep this ministry he has going. You know, God builds ministry, man doesn't. A called man of God that's sent forth, and that's when I know. When I plant that seed to Mark, that's in my blessing. It's that sowing and reaping, amen? So as we pray and close here, remember that, okay, that blessing and giving. God's not a slot machine, amen, but he does want us to bless Mark that we can go forward today. Revelation, right quick, when I spoke on that, I've heard people tell me, I'm going to give you one word for that, just going to support personally. I've had people in my own family tell me, don't you care that so-and-so's going through this? Mark, don't you care? Sure I care, but I got a choice. Either God's got it or he doesn't. Someone needs to hear that. Someone's asking you right now in your own family as a Christian, trying to drag you down because they're choosing Barabbas. Amen. And they're asking you, don't you care? Because they're wanting you to fix their problem instead of Jesus. And when people try to pull you into that, I pray that you remember the word today, that it takes that patience of the donkey, even with our own families. Amen. That we have to keep trusting God. And that really spoke to me today, that I was supposed to reaffirm that because it spoke to me, yes, I care. Amen. But I'm going to choose to be a Christian and let God take care of these problems. Amen. And trust him in it. And also another thing, if you do get the revelation of Jesus, right here is how he'll expose it to you and continue to bring you more revelation. I kept getting the revelation of Jesus and going back and saying, you know what? You got this, God, and then not getting in the word and not seeking it further and trying to find another revelation. Then when God started giving me another, then another, then another, amen, it can only come by us getting in his word. Sure, we pray to God, but right in here, he'll start to bring you. I speak this over God's people today before we close. He's going to bring you revelation after revelation after revelation, and you begin to gain those types of revelations. You begin to trust God more and more by his word. So this is the main of life, amen? So when you gain a revelation today, and I know you did, let's seek God and let him continue to reveal from glory to glory who he is in your life, and it'll manifest where you make great choices. Amen. Great word from Pastor Mark. Father God, we pray over your people today again, God, as Mark continues to go forth from here and travel with this. I'm so thankful for him as a brother in Christ, God, and the revelation of Jesus that he brings. He empowers us today. It encouraged us by you, by the Holy Spirit. Mark, being a humble man, I know, God, that he wants you to have all that credit, but God, you've called him to deliver his word. So bless him today as we give into his ministry. And God, that he's going to go forth and continue to bring that revelation to more and more people. God, I pray that your people today go forth seeking you. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. God, we leave today seeking you more, getting in your word, and gaining more and more revelation. I believe that today's the beginning for many people. And God, I pray that they continue to seek you in the way that you have them established in this today. We give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You are dismissed. Hug somebody's neck and be sure and give to Mark Schell's ministry.